Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As was mentioned earlier, we'll be following our reading from 1 Kings. When Solomon is told by the Lord, ask whatever you want, and I'll give it to you. It's about priorities today, and that's our focus as well. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if you were given that opportunity, what would you have said? When Solomon is told by the Lord, ask for whatever you want me to give to you. If God said that to you, what would be your request? What is your priority in life? What would be the most important thing? You know, there are lotteries that have been won, $1 billion lottery. What are they going to do now? What is their priority? What's your priority in life? It's difficult sometimes to fashion it, isn't it? It's difficult sometimes to express it because we don't give it that much thought. We go about life, living our life, usually for ourselves, maybe for our families. But yet, what is your top priority of the most important things in life? Some have analyzed this by asking someone, if your house was on fire and you had one opportunity to go in and take whatever you're going to need to save, what would you save out of the house? I mean, provided the family and all the people are out of the house. What physical things would you save? And many of them have answered, well, I'd go with the photo albums. You think, photo albums, there's really no value to anyone else, but there's value to them in the memories. That would be a priority for them because the furniture can be replaced, the house can be replaced, but the memories, those need to be cherished. How would you answer? What would be your priority if God says, ask me anything you want, and it's yours? We're going to think about that today to make sure that our priority is in God's will, that our priority is for God and for his people. And we'll see how the Lord blesses those priorities as well. As mentioned, Solomon has become king following David. David has ruled for 40 years. Solomon has no doubt watched his dad rule. He has watched him go through wars, deal with crisis in the government, deal with crisis and disgruntlement among the people. But he'd never done that. So he looks at himself and he says, you know what? I'm really a kid at this. He's not necessarily that he's a child by age, but he's inexperienced in being a king. He's never had to do it. And now, of all things, he's ruling not just his own little group. He's ruling God's people, God's chosen people of Israel, the people of promise, the people from whom the Messiah would come. And he finds himself woefully inadequate to be able to do it. And so what does he request? When God gives him the opportunity to ask for anything, what does Solomon ask for? So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people, to distinguish between right and wrong, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? A couple of things we might note. He wants a discerning heart, but the purpose is to do well for God. His purpose is to serve the Lord. He says, I want to have a discerning heart to govern your people well. He doesn't claim them as his people. He doesn't claim them as his nation. He doesn't claim any power or might on his own. He says, Lord, I know I am under you, which all the kings of Israel really were. They were under shepherds, under the good shepherd. But he knows that for a fact. And Solomon says, Lord, I want to rule your people well. The only way I can do that is if you give me wisdom. It's kind of neat in the original. This is kind of, he wants a heart that hears. You know, one with ears, one that would hear and listen. He says, I've got to be able to listen. I don't have all the answers. I often wonder, wouldn't it be great if the people in leadership and government today had that attitude? That they don't have all the answers, that they don't have all the solutions, but they want to turn to the Lord and say, Lord, help me rule your people. That was Solomon's priority, to do his job well. Not just to do it well so that he might be put up in the Hall of Fame of Kings or written into the Book of Kings, to do his job well, to serve the Lord who had these people, who these people belonged to. Lord, give me a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. He says, no one else can do that, Lord, unless you bless them to do that. His priority, in essence, was to serve the Lord. Now, I don't know anybody here who's recently been anointed king. I don't know anybody here of royal blood outside the royalty of Jesus Christ within us. I don't know anybody here who's a prince or princess or future king or queen. And yet, what is your priority to God? To serve him, isn't it? We would certainly hope to serve him. But why would you do that? Why would you wonder about serving the Lord? Why is that a priority? Well, let's be fair. You were God's priority. You were God's priority when he sent his one and only son. You were Christ's priority when he died on the cross, giving his life up for you, suffering your hell and mine. Christ always had you as his priority. Isn't it appropriate then that Christ would be our priority? That when we hear people misuse his name, that we actually do take offense at it? When we hear and see people sinning and going contrary to God's will, that we might speak up about it instead of just washing it by and letting it pass by us? No, what's your priority? If God said, ask what you will and I'll give it, what would you ask for? I know there'd be any number might ask for money. Oh, I want wealth. I want to be able to do things. I want to be able to help things. Maybe there'd be some that say, I'd like a little power. I'd like to get up in my job. I'd like to become the boss. I'd like that corner office, if people even use offices anymore. We think of all the things that we might have as a priority. What would others, if they're watching you, believe is your priority? Would they be able to watch your actions, your language, your talk, your work? And would they be able to see, well, you know, that priority, he's got one priority, and that's to serve his Lord? Or would they see us as those who want to serve ourselves? Fill us with all the accomplishments and all the honor and glory? That's a hard question because, well, we all like ourselves. We all want to serve ourselves and be good about that idea. But God would tell us, look at what Solomon asked for. He asked for wisdom to rule his people, a heart that hears. I would say a heart that hears is in short supply right now, not just among the government, not just among those who have positions of leadership, but among us all. We don't listen very well anymore. We jump to conclusions. We jump in judgment on people without having all the facts, all the knowledge, all the background, or any of the circumstances surrounding it. How many arguments, how many fights, how many deaths have there been because people won't listen? People don't listen with a heart that hears, a heart that wants to understand, a heart that needs to reach out and help somebody. I think we're all guilty there, aren't we? We're all guilty of not listening well enough to be able to make the decisions that are important to the Lord, to serve him above all else. This is indeed something for us to look at, to say, well, here's Solomon, just coming in as king, understanding he's way over his head in leadership tactics and ability and skill sets. And what does he ask for? Lord, I want to serve your people and I want to serve them well. I want to be here for them because they're your people, your chosen people. Solomon would give us good direction, wouldn't he? That we know that in our life, when it comes to priorities, it's Jesus Christ and him alone. It's Jesus Christ who suffered and died for us, that we live each day and each moment of our lives. Do we come to him regularly in prayer? Do we have daily conversations with him? And I don't always mean just the quick table prayer or the prayer before bed. I mean, do we talk to him? He says, pray without ceasing. He loves to hear his children talk to him. He loves to relate to them and communicate with them. He loves it when he is your priority. There's a lot of other things that can be priorities. Our time can be a priority. Our skill sets can be priorities for ourselves. You think of the priorities that you have in your life. Is Jesus number one? The very first commandment tells us you are to have no other gods. No other gods. That's not a god necessarily that is a fashioned idol or anything, but nothing else. But Jesus Christ is our priority, and everything falls in line after that. That was the Lord's directive to us. That's what Solomon understood, and that hasn't changed. God asks us, ask what you will, and I'll give it to you. Solomon asked for a heart that hear, the heart that would hear, so he could rule God's people well, that he might serve his Lord in love and commitment. But then he goes on from there. We notice that the Lord was pleased with that. Well, why wouldn't he be pleased? Solomon could have asked for anything, but he asked to rule God's people well. So God said to him, since you've asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I'll do what you've asked. Solomon could have ended, had he prayed this way, your will be done. Just as Jesus prayed in the garden, not my will, but your will be done. And the Lord's will was that Solomon rule his people well. God's will was that Solomon would make sure that God was always number one. And so he was pleased with Solomon's response and said, okay, since you didn't ask for all the other things, and I was fascinated by it too, when you read the book of Ecclesiastes, which Solomon also wrote, you'll notice how he calls many things meaningless, vain, vanity in the old King James. He says that it's all meaningless. He looked for power. He looked for love. He looked for wealth. He looked for all these things, and he says, they're all meaningless. And truly they are. What seems to be in the rat race that everybody's chasing after, guess what? If you win the rat race, you're still a rat, aren't you? No. We don't want to chase after those things that aren't pleasing to God because they're meaningless. God would say, oh, look, you asked for these things, and I'm pleased with what you asked, for you ask in my will. How many things are there in our life, and how many times are there in our life that we ask very fervently, Lord, your will be done, especially when we don't know what his will is necessarily. We don't know what the meaning of the illness is. We don't know what the meaning of the tragedy is in our life. We don't know what the meaning of the sorrow and the sadness and all the problems that come to us in our life. We don't know necessarily, but Lord, your will be done. If necessary, Lord, you strengthen me to carry on. You strengthen me to bear up under the burdens. Lord, you lead me to follow you, knowing that you in love did everything for me. Yes, the Lord provides in a variety of ways because in love, look at the sacrifice he made, his one and only son, just for you. You were and always are his priority. He ought to be our priority as well, wouldn't you agree? He should be the one we turn to. When we have trouble, the first turn is not to the experts, but to the Creator, to the Lord himself. Lord, what would you have me do? How would you have me respond? How would you have me handle this? Who might I help, Lord? Who can I help lift up? Who can I comfort and assure? You know, when it comes to picking priorities, it's probably something I don't know if any of us have really ever made a list on. I know you can have your goals, your mission statements. Even families need mission statements and goals. But take a look today. What is your priority? Is God first and foremost from the time you get up till the time you go to bed? And that doesn't mean we walk around as holy people, which nobody can touch and nobody can harm. No. Is God your priority? If he isn't, why not? What have you got to offer that God has not provided? What have you got in your life and in your abilities and in your skill set that God hasn't given to you? How could it be that he wouldn't be our priority as he made you his? My dear Christian friends, you know, in life itself, we have so many options. so many opportunities, so many things that can direct us away from the one who is our priority for all time. And that's Jesus Christ. He's your Lord and Savior. He won for you eternal life. He gives that to you as a gift through faith. May Jesus always be your priority, because just the word itself, priority, means there's nothing else. That's it. That's the one thing we want, the one thing we wish to do, the one that we wish to serve is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Like Solomon, may God always be your priority. Amen. And now the peace of God that comes through us through our Lord and Savior Jesus, ever keep your hearts and minds in true faith till we stand with him in glory everlasting. Amen.